Tell me A and B. There are three ways we can find ourselves in a pit, and I want you to tell me what they are. A was what?
Thrown in.
We can be thrown in. B?
Slip in.
We can slip in. So we've been thrown in. We've talked about slipping in. That brings us to point C. Point C is this. We can jump in. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. You see, this is a brilliant group. You are a brilliant participant. We can jump in. And how exactly did you know we could jump in? We can plan sin. I want to show you something that conveys a little bit of this. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I want you to hear verses 12 and 13. This is the psalmist David, who I so dearly love and so look forward to meeting. It says in verse 12, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Look at verse 13. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. This is a powerful verse because it's telling us what is possible by telling us what's happened so often in the life to get us in bondage to sin. Now, let me talk about what is possible, first of all. In the Christian life, it is a very fair question to ask. I mean, how together can we really get this thing? I mean, that's a fair question to ask. I know a number of people that have just really, they so abuse the whole concept of grace. That's just, you know, you just live like the devil because thank goodness we're saved. And I mean, we're just in this temple of human flesh and blood. And what else can we do? I mean, it's just a war till death. And certainly it is a war till death. But they've given up on the fight. And they've just decided that, you know, that there's grace and we're just going to live like we do, live in complete defeat, totally blow our witness. But this is how we are. And there's got to be something wrong with that. That is not the New Testament life that is conveyed to us of abundant, effectual testimony. That's not what the Word of God is telling us. But can we ever completely pull it together? Listen, anybody that appears to have all their stuff together, there is no such thing. Because this is just what we're dealing with. So there's no way we're going to pull this thing completely together. There will be no perfection for us on this earth. We pursue that upward calling. We pursue full throttle godliness. But we're never going to get this thing perfectly together. What is possible? This verse tells us. It's talking about something called blamelessness. We could call blamelessness walking blamelessly. And what it says is this, that there would be freedom from willful sins, and that is premeditated, arrogant, full of ourselves sin, and that there will not be an area of sin ruling over us. That is possible. The psalmist says, then we will be free of great transgression. You want to know what walking blamelessly is? That there's no area of sin that has dominion over you. I promise you that is possible. I used to walk in complete bondage to this or that area of sin. I know what it's like to walk with a sin and an area of bondage that has rule over me. We honestly can't, and there are people listening right now that do not believe that because they're basing it on their experience. Listen, the Word of God is not based on your experience. Our experience is not the plumb line of God's truth. God's Word is true. Where our experience doesn't match up to it, our experience is awry and is telling us a lie. Because we do not have to walk. We are not forced as human beings to just accept the fact that we will always have this addiction or that. That is a lie. And it's a cop-out because we don't want to do the hard work it would take. We don't want to do the hard work it would take. Don't want it bad enough. But it is possible for us. And what it's saying is that we can get to a place where our walk, the sin that we commit, is more reactive than proactive. That it is not willful in its nature, it is more reactive. For instance, where we get more to the place where we realize that we reacted badly to something and to somebody and we need to make a telephone call and we need to ask their forgiveness. But we didn't go into work that morning ready to chew them up and spit them out. Do you see the difference? We just inadvertently ended up chewing them up and spitting them out. It was not what we really meant to do that day at work. Are you relating with me? That's reactive instead of proactive. Willful sin is, I'm going to go in today, and I'm going to turn her every which way but loose. She ain't going to have a hair on her head when I get finished with her. Proactive sin. Proactive willful sin is what getting in a pit that we jumped into is all about. Now, we may not have known it was going to be a pit, but we willfully, some of us, no, all of us, at one time or another, and in one dimension or another, we tend to think in terms of the really big sins. But you don't have to commit adultery and plan it in order to find yourself in a pit. Amen. There are all sorts of ways that we plan sin, and then we realize when we look around, what kind of mess am I in? Do you see how much of life can be spent in a pit? Do you see why we end up decorating the thing? Listen to me. We are about to take some pictures down. It's time to call the movers. You understand what I'm saying? Because we've already designated that one thing in our broad context of what it takes to be in a pit, we have already substantiated that, biblically speaking, it is anything that gets us in a situation, a negative situation, that we cannot get ourselves out of. That is what constitutes a pit. So no matter how we got into the pit, every pit has two things in common. We cannot get out of it ourselves. We cannot get ourselves out of a pit. But we can get out. We can get out. There is absolutely no pit so deep you cannot get out of it. Absolutely no pit. You are not in the one pit you cannot be delivered from. But let me tell you, there are two ways we can get out of the pit, biblically speaking. And I want you to go with me in one way, just allegorically, just for the sake of making an example today. Some person can pull us out of a pit, or God can pull us out of the pit. I want you to think about whether a human being, when a human being is the person that pulls us out of a pit, what would our biblical example be? Well, Joseph's brothers. We're going to go back to that for just a moment. Now, what I realize here, and this is where the parallel does not match up perfectly, God's sovereignty was at work when they pulled Joseph out of the pit and they sold him off into slavery. That was God's absolute sovereignty. But I want to just get you to go with me a place that I believe is biblically sound, that when we are in a pit and it is a human being that in our minds has pulled us out and not God, they will sell us off into slavery every single time. Every single time it is a human being that we see as our personal savior. And no, we're not calling them Jesus. We're just acting like they are. Is that making sense to anybody? Anytime it is a person that we are convinced pulled us out of a pit, they will sell us off into bondage. We will be in slavery. The only deliverer that we have that will not sell us off into slavery is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Now, one time I taught on a dimension of this, and a woman lifted her hand up in a very large audience, and somehow I thought to myself, I needed to answer her question, and that just does not happen in a really large group. And I knew that the Holy Spirit had ordained it. I knew she had a question every one of them wanted to ask. She said, does that mean we shouldn't see a counselor? Whoa! I was so glad that she brought that up. I said, absolutely not. I'm a huge proponent of sound, godly counseling. But a good counselor will make absolutely sure you know who your deliverer is. Someone can help you see who your deliverer is. But if they themselves, if that person in your mind, if it translates into your psyche that that person is your deliverer, you're in bondage. You're in bondage. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. So often uses human vessels to point the way, but there is only one deliverer, and that is Christ Jesus. Looking back at Psalm 40, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. See, we get into so much bondage because the issue really is, and this is another lesson entirely, We don't trust him. Just flat don't trust him. So, we end up trusting something or someone else and find ourselves in the bondage of our lives. I want to conclude with you in verse 8. It says in verse 8, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I love the version that says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Listen carefully, girls, because here's the thing. I don't just want to be free. I want you to be free. It's just part of the way the Lord made me. Because Jesus has brought me so much personal happiness and joy, pure gladness of soul, it's not enough for me. Because I just was given that thing in me that says, I don't want to just have it for myself. I want them to have it. I want you to have it. I want you to know freedom. I want you to know the fullness of Christ. I want your lives to be profoundly effective in fruit bearing. And this was key to me. This was absolutely key to me. As long as we just walk the thing out without it finally getting to our hearts, we will always find ourselves back in a pit. Every single time. You will never stay out of that pit for long if you just do what you think you should. Should will never carry you for long. It never will. Until God makes it with that truth all the way from your head down into your heart, until you have totally accepted your God is for you. He's not trying to take your fun away. He's not just bound up. He says, my commands, Deuteronomy 10 verse 13, are for you. I mean, he said to me before in his own language, in my own heart, I am trying to save your scrawny neck here. Why don't you work with me? Anybody? I know what I'm doing with you, Beth. You got yourself into this mess. If you listen to me and would trust that I have your best interest in mind and I'm not just out to take away your good time, maybe we would get someplace. Till finally, you're not driven by what you know you ought to do, but it has become your desire to do it. Now listen, do not misunderstand me. It starts with what I ought to do. Because that does not happen very often from the beginning. If we've been in habitual sin, we begin taking those first steps out of that pit by going, okay, I know no matter how much I want to do this, this is where I've got to be. But it cannot remain there. If it remains there, you'll head back into that pit. Because when it all comes down, are you listening to me? We're going to do what we want to do. When it all ends up, in the long term, this I promise you, you're going to do in the long term what you want to do. Would you say that's true? And that's why God had to come to me and change my want to. I had a self-destructive want. Oh, somebody understands what I'm saying. I had a self-destructive want to. Anybody but me? And now I want to tell you something. Now, I am a spoiled brat in Jesus. Amen. I am. You know why? Because I get so much of what I want. I can't tell you how much of what I want I get. You want to know why? Because God performed a miracle on my mind and on my heart, and He changed my desires to His desires. I no longer have that taste I used to have for those obsessions I had, those addictions I had. Now I want to be free. I want Jesus. I want to obey Him. I want His freedom. I want Him. I want Him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you have never, ever been in more bondage than me. So don't you give me that. Don't you try to tell me that that may have worked for me, but I have no idea what you... I have been there. I know this one. I know this one by heart. And I know He can dramatically change your want to. But you gotta want Him to. Till your want to nearly destroys you, what will it take? What will it take until our personal desires that are so askewed from being thrown in, from slipping in and jumping in, how long until we're totally destroyed? Listen to me. We are not totally destroyed today. If you belong to Christ, the enemy cannot destroy you. He can make you think you're destroyed, but child, you are not destroyed. You have not gone too far, and you have not stayed too long. It is time for the moving van to come. You take down your pictures because you got a new place to live, and it is not in the next pit. Amen. It's in the spacious place. In the spacious place where there's some fresh air, where the grass is green, where the wind is blowing. I want to say something to you. I see so many of your tears, and you've got me about to cry myself. I'm so tender to it, and I do not miss it. And I don't know what's happening with you on the other side of that screen, but I know this. Your God loves you. It's not been too long. It's not been too deep. And your God has made sure that you have heard this message today because your deliverer has come.